Let us pray. God of the ages, we praise you. For in the dawn of time, you created the world, sending the light by your word to dispel the darkness. In Jesus Christ, you began a new creation, sending him to be the light of the world, to drive away fear and despair, and to rule in peace and justice, holiness and love. Especially we thank you for the order and beauty of your creation, for coming in Jesus Christ to share our human life, for the place you give us in your continuing creation, for the promise of peace among nations and justice for all peoples, for the church as a sign of your coming kingdom. Mighty God, prepare the world for your rule, for we long for the day when there shall be no more crying or tears, and death will be destroyed. Help us to share the ministry of Christ and be agents of his compassion through our prayers, our presence, our service, our witness, and the gifts we gave this day. Especially we pray for the nations of the earth and peace in the world, for victims and survivors of violence, for those who are sick and suffering, for our family and friends, for the church and those who serve in Christ's name. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This lectern's a little short. I think it's Scott-sized. Before I get started this morning, I would like to reread to you a portion of the scripture reading that was just read. It comes from Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. Let us pray. Gracious God, in this place, for this time, give me the words to speak, and they the ears to hear, that we may learn your word for us today. Amen. Change. Change is so pervasive in our lives that it almost defeats description and analysis. Nevertheless, we experience it, we attempt to document it, and we try to predict it. It is a common part of our lives, both individually and as a corporate body. Consider some of the changes and the things that sparked them in the 20th century. The first transatlantic flight, women's suffrage, the New Deal, the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Civil Rights March on Washington, D.C., Watergate, AIDS. During the 20th century, Americans experienced more distinct change per decade than perhaps any other nation in any other time. And here, at the beginning of the 21st century, we are yet again hearing a lot about change.
Well, I think the questioner hit the nail on the head. As I travel around the country, people have an urgent desire for change in Washington.
We're going to have to see fundamental change.
You speak out powerfully for change.
We are united for change.
I love change.
What we need is somebody who can deliver change.
Real change, big change, bold change.
Washington has to change.
What will occur every time he speaks out for change?
Can I talk change with you?
Every time I fight for change?
For 25 years, I brought change.
You are the candidate of change.
Change is a concept.
I have been an agent of change.
I embody change.
Not only can I talk change with you, I've lived it.
Both of us are powerful voices for change.
Making change.
You bring about change.
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 Face.
Strange.
Changes.
You don't want to be a Richard, man.
Changes.
Turn.
Face.
Strange.
Changes.
We're going to have different
math.
Time
may change.
Me.
But I can't trace
time.
I said that
time
may change.
Me.
But I can't trace
time.
We lobby for change. We root for change. Nevertheless, we are scared to death of change. We're scared because when things change, we leave the comfortable for the unknown. When left to our own devices, I think we often only seek change when we've hit the bottom. The rock band Three Doors Down, those of you of my generation may be familiar with him. If you're older, search, well, you can't, if you can search the internet, search the internet. The Three Doors Down. They sang a song entitled Changes. This is how it goes. I'm not supposed to be scared of anything, but I don't know where I am. I tried to hold this under control. They can't help me, because no one knows. Now I'm going through changes. Changes. God, I feel so frustrated lately. When I get suffocated, save me. Now I'm going through changes. Changes. As I reflect on my journey with God that has led me here before you today, I find that it is full of changes. Changes I would have never expected. Changes I probably never would have made on my own. Changes that have challenged me. Changes that I did not like, changes I was not prepared for. And in the midst of these changes, God was there, helping me along the journey. And like the prophet Isaiah, which was just read to you, I can proclaim that in the midst of uncertain change, God is surely my salvation. I must trust and not be afraid, for I have learned that the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. Growing up in the small town of Mount Vernon in the far southwestern tip of Indiana, I led a fairly normal Hoosier life. I played basketball, and I rooted for the Indiana University Hoosiers, because that's what normal Hoosiers do. Now, you have no idea how comforting it was for me to walk in the sanctuary last Sunday for the first time as your associate pastor, and to see that you had decorated the sanctuary in those glorious colors, red and white. If only there were a Bobby Knight tree top. With a chair the next side over, I think it would be perfect. And lo and behold, God has provided this day. Bobby Knight has made his appearance. Now, all that normal stuff changed. My sophomore year of high school, I was asked to preach on Youth Sunday. Now, at my home church in Mount Vernon, Youth Sunday is a time when the youth kind of take over everything. Both services, the music, the sermon, scripture reading, the whole show, they do it all. Since there were no upperclassmen to deliver the message that Sunday, the youth director thought it was a wise idea. Was she wrong? That I should lead. Give the message. Everything was fine, as far as I know. And the next year, now an upperclassman, a junior, I was asked to deliver the message again at Youth Sunday. Now, knowing that lightning hadn't struck anyone down the previous year, I figured I'd give it another shot. At the end of the service, it was the custom of that church, which had a center aisle, to during the last hymn to process out and then greet everyone as they exited the sanctuary. Now, as I was greeting people, you know, saying hello to my grandparents, aunts and uncles who were there, all that kind of stuff, the other people in the church, these two women came up. And they asked a very simple question. Now, I think I should kind of frame this for you. I don't know of any other way to describe these women other than the fact that they had sat behind me my entire life growing up in the church. And to give you a very clear picture of what they looked like, they were kind of cheek-pulling grannies. Okay, older women in the church, saints of the church. They asked me a very simple question. What do you want to be? Now, as a junior in high school, I had gotten that question a lot. This time was different. I quickly replied that I wanted to be an engineer. In fact, I had already began the college search, was planning on becoming a Saluki, which is Southern Illinois University. And the two ladies responded to me. They said, "Son, you have quite a calling." They walked away. Their questions, their words, and their approach were so simple. Yet these two cheek-pulling grannies and the words they spoke to me have led me on a path of perpetual change. I prayed about what they had said and what they were suggesting. I mean, shoot, me, a pastor? How could I tell my father, second-generation business owner, and my grandfather who started the business? How could I explain all this to him? And the community, the small town of Mount Vernon, they would just never get this. So like the biblical character Jacob, I wrestled with God in prayer, demanding that clarity be given to me. I questioned God and searched myself. Finally, after 2 weeks of prayer, the uncertainty became unbearable. If I was to make this change, I would need a sign. The next day, I received a letter in the mail. All it said was, "Jacob, I really enjoyed the sermon. Love, Idella." God had answered my prayer. It wasn't that, you know, the letter itself wouldn't have been strange by itself. Idella had written to me before. But the fact that I had prayed for something, a simple little sign, that little letter meant a lot. Now, I wish I could say that everything has been just easy since that time, but it hasn't. Life's still life. It's been my calling and the direction God has led me. As you know, God, I don't understand God all the time. My calling has been full of twists and turns, and in all honesty, I've been a little hesitant to change at times. Still root for IU. Well, no one's perfect, I suppose. Even you Purdue fans. I don't know what God has in store for me next. I can only imagine. See, I found in this 7 to 8 year journey of my life that it's not worth trying to predict where God's going to lead me next. Because God always takes care. Always. I may not like the changes that occur. I may not enjoy. It may not be a comfortable change. But God cares. God loves us. Therefore, I have no reason to try and predict the change. I'm learning. I have learned. And yes, I didn't misspeak. I am still learning to trust God every day. On December 11th, 1971, that was before my time, but I think it might have been around Steve's time, David Bowie released the album Hunky Dory, which contains the classic song, Changes. The song, I think, is quite prophetic as we look forward to Christmas, as we journey along this Advent season. This is how the song goes. Changes, turn and face the strange. Changes. Don't want to be a richer man. Changes. It's kind of catchy. Turn and face the strange. Changes. Just gonna have to be a different man. Time may change me, but I can't trace time. This Advent, as we prepare for Christmas, I invite you to turn and face the strange. Follow the star and look in the manger at Bethlehem. Admittedly, it will be hard. I mean, this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, he was poor, an outcast, and by all marks of the time, a sorry sight. But my friends, I invite you to look carefully at this forgotten child, this extraordinary, odd, and curious little boy will give sight to the blind, calm the storm, walk where angels trod. This odd, curious, and strange little boy will raise the dead and be called the very Son of God. This strange little sight will, if you allow it, change you. It has and is changing me. What's next? I can only imagine.